Well, I wasn't going to preach tonight. I was going to have a night off, having been a bit busy today, and I left a notice on there, but the Lord has thought differently, praise God. And this evening I want to just exhort you with this title, The Lord Give You Understanding. The Lord Give You Understanding. And God wants us to understand everything that he gives to us, everything that he reveals to us. Now, we know that God is revelation and that our minds have to be renewed. We have to be born again and filled with the Spirit, and we have to be a new creation. Yet as a new creation in Christ, we still have to use this new mind God has given to us, because he's putting on his mind so that we have the mind of Christ. And for us to understand God's ways and his word takes years. In fact, it will take eternity. We will never stop learning about God, even in the kingdom of heaven. It will go on and on and on. But there is a degree of understanding and learning that God wants of us in this life. And so we have the Holy Spirit, we're told, who has come to lead us and guide us and also teach us. And in his teaching, he wants us to be able to understand. Because when we understand something, it's like that dropping that 18 inches from the head to the heart. It's like, oh yes, I understand. Whereas before we were a little bit in the dark. And it is very important that we understand the word of God that is to be rightly divided by the Holy Spirit in truth. And of course, we don't get it overnight. We're all at different levels. We've all come from different backgrounds. And God places different gifts and anointings within the church. But we're all of us at a stage of where we're learning and understanding yet more of the ways of God. And that is why we have to have a renewed mind, because it's the only way a renewed mind can understand and be taught revelation. And that is why the world is hidden. It's blinded to the revelation of God. It can't see, it can't understand, unless God opens our eyes to be able to see and understand. So that's really tonight what I want to look at and talk on. And if we turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 7, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 7, the Apostle Paul here, he's speaking to the young Timothy, and here he says in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 7, he says here, consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Here the apostle is exhorting, encouraging this young man, and his prayer and desire is that he may have understanding in all things. In other words, it means an understanding in everything that God is doing in your life. It doesn't literally mean that you will understand everything, because that's humanly impossible. But it's meaning that you're understanding what God is saying, what he's doing in your life, and also maybe in the church that you are identified with, and those things that you are concerned with, and that God is working in your life and ministry and so on. So this is the idea of the understanding. It's not an understanding of everything, because that's impossible. Nobody can do that. So that is what he's referring here. Now, to understand from the English word, it means comprehension of knowledge. And this comprehension and this knowledge results in intelligence and reason. So we can become intelligent, rational beings by the fact that we're taught, we comprehend, we learn knowledge. This is how we learn generally in life. This is all part of growing up and part of the education that, we are given. That is on a natural level. It's very important for all of us to be able to read and write. Well, certainly to read, because it helps us to be able to read God's word. And that's what education's done to help us. But we can take that also over to the spiritual. Whereas now, the fact that we walk by faith and not by sight, and that we comprehend, we take the word of God by faith, this is a higher intelligence. This is an intelligence that is above the mere human worldly intelligence. This is an intelligence and understanding that God's giving us that the world cannot give, education cannot give. This can only be given by the Holy Spirit. And particularly as you're baptized in the Spirit, as he comes to lead and guide us into a deeper life and walk with him. And this also implies a sort of mental grasp of something, along with a good judgment and discernment. So what God is teaching us, this understanding, it also means that we apply this understanding with a mental grasp where we're able to be able to judge, discern. Because it's very important with the Word of God and the Word of God being preached and our own reading, that not only do we understand the Word of God, but the Word of God is also to be a discernment, something that we are to discern, and something that is to be judged upon in that sense. So the word God says that he's going to judge the world on the revelation of this word and what is revealed in it. Now, unless God opens our ears and eyes and hearts and gives us that understanding, we're never going to fully understand this. Even though man in his conscience, he has a degree in his conscience where he knows what is right and wrong. He knows it's wrong to steal and so on, to murder. There's an inner conscience placed within man where he knows that these basic fundamental things are wrong. However, we still need this understanding, this enlightening in the Word of God. Now, in Hebrew, the understanding here is to have discernment or a perception with the senses. So the Hebrew idea of our understanding is not only do we understand, but we have a discernment with that understanding. We have like a perception with it. Our senses are also made sensitive to that understanding in the Word of God. And of course, our senses are our smell, our taste, our touch, our seeing, our hearing, and so forth. So we know that the Holy Spirit will work upon that. For example, the Holy Spirit is working upon our eye gate so that we can, in a sense, we can turn our eyes away from some things that are unsavory and not very edifying. So that takes the Holy Spirit to start to work that within us, because we have an understanding that if we look at that for too long, then we're going to become oppressed by it and so on. So this is this idea in the Hebrew where we're using this word to understand. It's a discernment or a perception with the senses. For example, let us turn to the book of Job. In the book of Job, and we look at verse 6 in Job, verses 24 to 30, Job chapter 6, verses 24 to 30, teach me and I will hold my tongue, cause me to understand wherein I have erred. How forceful are right words your arguing prove? Do you intend to rebuke my words and have the speeches of a desperate one which are as wind? Yes, you overwhelm the fatherless and you undermine your friends. Now, therefore, be pleased to look at me, for I would never lie to your face. Yield now, let me be no injustice. Yes, concede my righteousness still stands. Is there injustice on my tongue? Cannot my taste discern the savoury? Here Job is learning, he is understanding the ways of the Lord. And the Lord is doing this through the depth of his trials, this real testing that Job went through. And this is again why we go through what we go through, and why sometimes we go through the trials and tests that we do, because what we don't realize is that God is getting us to understand him, to understand his ways, to understand his word. And so sometimes he uses trials which affect the senses, just like Job is speaking here about his senses. It's through his senses, what he's going through, probably discomfort, pain as well, that we understand God's ways, that we see the deeper meaning of how God is dealing with us and what he's doing, both individually and corporately. This is so deep, what God does. This is why the book of Job is a wonderful book to read about God's dealings and how he deals with us in the depths of our trials and so forth. Again, we get another understanding of this from this Hebrew understanding in Proverbs 7, verse 7. In Proverbs 7 and verse 7, he says, let's take it from verse 6. For at the window of my house I looked through my lattice and saw among the simple, I perceived among the youths, a young man devoid of understanding. So here Proverbs speaks of a young man who's devoid of understanding. He doesn't understand that he's getting into a trap. He's being drawn in. He's being seduced. And so many sin because they don't really fully understand. A lot of your sinning that you have sinned or maybe still are sinning is because you still yet don't fully understand. And so God is working with us, as we know, both to will and do for his good pleasure. So this idea of understanding from Hebrew is to pay attention, consideration. And that's what we do tonight. This is why we open up the word. We do it so that we pay attention, we consider, we take it in, we pray about it, so that we can start to understand. And that this understanding gives us a knowledge and wisdom with that understanding, so that we're able to turn away from sin, unbelief, and start to really begin to walk by faith. So the Bible shows for the believer that there is a help from God intellectually. And this help that God gives to us through the Holy Spirit helps us intellectually, because it affects our minds, obviously. And the help that God gives to us is always on a moral and spiritual basis, so that we can walk in this life. So you see, God always works with us and he teaches us. It's always, in a sense, in a moral and spiritual way, so that we can learn this and understand it and take it in. And we see, again, something of this in Proverbs 9, chapter 9 and verse 10. In Proverbs chapter 9, and verse 10, he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, we probably, most of us, have all asked for the fear of God that is the beginning of wisdom. But we need to understand that. It says it's the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So if we understand, as I'm going to look at later, this then opens up to a wisdom and a knowledge. But the basis is we've got to grasp, we've got to understand. If you don't understand something, then you can't release faith. You can't really please God. You're not really knowing or understanding what God's saying. And sometimes when we read the scriptures, and even Peter said that what Paul says at times is hard to understand. But if you stay with it, eventually you begin to understand. You know, the word of God is such a word that over the years we can look at it and read it over and over again, and then suddenly you say to yourself, wow, I understand it now, and it's taken all that time. That is how God works with us. And there's a specific reason when you get that understanding, because then you start to really apply that faith, that belief, then that knowledge and that wisdom comes. But God has always opened your eyes and heart to understand, and he's been working that in a moral and in a spiritual sense, because he's holy. We're told in Proverbs 4, Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 to 5, we're told here about what it says about paying attention. See, Proverbs has a lot to say about this. But it says here in Proverbs 4, verses 1 to 5, hear, my children, the instruction of a and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commands and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. And so it goes on. So, of course, this understanding is certainly stressed to young people, young Christians. When you're bringing young people up, this is why in school, in education, you go there to learn, to understand. Because we notice that the importance of understanding, particularly when you're young. Well, of course, now that we're born and filled with the Spirit, in the Spirit, there is no age. So we're all young. We're all growing up in Christ. There is no age where we worship God in spirit and in truth. But we get this idea that youngsters are to learn to understand, because this is going to give them a standing in life for the future. It says to depart from evil. We need to understand this, or to be slow to anger, which we all battle with, but we need to understand what it means. Even the prophets and priests to Israel had to understand what God was saying to Israel. It was no good a prophet getting up and preaching, prophesying in a prophetic manner, if he didn't understand what God was saying to Israel. And so it's very important. It's very important even for the fivefold ministry, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. It's important that what they are receiving from God, they're understanding. It's important in the prophetic to understand what God is saying to the church or churches. And so we see how important this is. And you see, the prophet and priests had to understand, because they were leading a nation. Moses had to understand what God was saying, as he was the shepherd leading a whole nation through wilderness. Also, another area of understanding from the Bible is also from the heart. I've already opened up with this, and I've shown you the Hebrew understanding of what it means to understand. We now look at it in a second area of understanding from the heart. So we're given this knowledge, and God wants us to understand, but understanding only come from the heart receiving it and understanding. We're told that from the heart is the issues of life that comes forth. So with your personality, your heart, and with understanding, so it comes out of you. And that is why when we hear preachers, teachers, each one can preach the same message, but it comes out slightly differently. Because God is using the person, the heart, the personality. As a lot of you know, I'm also an artist, and I also teach art. And one of the amazing things that I find is that I can set a study, say a still life, and I can have 10 students, and they're all copying that still life that I have set for them, yet you will find every interpretation of that still life, because God is using the person, the personality, the heart, the soul, the being. And so with their understanding of what they're seeing, they apply that and use that, and so they produce a painting, but all of them are all different. It doesn't mean to say they're wrong, because they're painting what they're seeing. And so it's the same in the body of Christ. God sets the gifts. He sets the fivefold ministry. And so through those fivefold ministries and through the gifts, we get this overall understanding of what the Spirit is saying to the churches and to churches individually. This is very important. No one person has all the truth. I know I've given this before, but it's like the analogy of a box. You can place a box in a room and you can only see generally one side of that box. You cannot see the other side of it unless you get up and physically walk around. And so it's like that box. The body of Christ can view that box and see the whole four sides of that box and interpret it. And that's the Holy Spirit's work, as he uses vessels. And so we then get this understanding of what God is saying to us and to the churches. And that's why he uses vessels, gifts like he does. And that's why we encourage you to wait on your ministry and to stir up the gifts. Some are being called and being prepared for the fivefold ministry as well, to preach and teach, whether some more in a teaching way, some more in a prophetic way, and so on. So that we're getting this whole picture and understanding of what God is saying in these last days. You see, this is where cults go wrong. Churches that fall into a cultish spirit are churches that become very narrow, insular. And that box that I was talking about, they can only see one side of it, and that's all they'll hold to, and that's all they'll preach. And they're not humble enough to accept that God uses others to interpret and show the other three sides of that square box. And so this is what I believe the Holy Spirit is doing now in these last days, as the bride is making herself ready, as now God is raising up the fivefold ministry, because she needs the those ministries. This is imperative for us to understand. So the heart is also used here, or the personality of the person, that is the issues of life that come from us, is also essential for us in our understanding. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, he says here, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. So we're told that we are to guard our hearts, because it's from the heart that we give out the issues of life. You see, the Word of God says that from our innermost beings flows rivers of living water. But those rivers of living water can only come from a pure heart that walks undefiled before God, a heart standing what the Spirit is saying. So that's very, very important. So this is where biblical understanding comes from, this understanding. Let's turn also to Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 32. As I've said, Proverbs has much to say about this. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 32. And here he says, whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. So there we are, sin, and he uses here adultery. Why is that sinner doing that? Because he or she doesn't understand. And so a lot of sin, a lot of what we do, is on the basis that we're not really understanding. And that's why God's merciful with us. That is why he's long-suffering, he's patient, because as he's teaching us, he's getting us to learn. This learning is essential, because faith can only come by learning, and we do that by hearing the Word of God, as it says in Romans 10:17. And so as we're hearing this, we're learning, we're understanding, then of course we will have the application of this, and I will give this out, that out in a minute. Let's turn also to Proverbs 9, chapter 9, verses 13 to 18. I'm giving you these scriptures because I want you really to understand and grasp this. This is Proverbs chapter 9, verses 13 to 18. 13 to 18. Oh, foolish woman. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knows nothing, for she sits at the door of her house, on a seat by the highest places of the city, to call to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn into her. And as for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of hell. Again, we get this clear understanding of the importance of understanding. And you see, people who commit sin fall into sin. It's a clear sign that there is a blockage. They are not understanding what the Spirit is saying. And brothers and sisters, we have got so many professing Christians who are roaming around from place to place, from church to church, but they don't understand. They're not hearing what the Spirit is saying to the church in these last days. And of course, the devil uses this, and this is why we have the confusion that we have. Confusion lies in Christendom because Christendom isn't understanding. And therefore, if it doesn't understand, then there isn't the faith, and therefore there isn't the wisdom and knowledge that can be applied. You see, when we don't seek God with the whole heart, the Bible shows us when we do that, that we're actually physically and morally lazy. Let's turn to Proverbs 24:30. Proverbs 24, verses 30 to 34. Proverbs 24, 30 to 34. And it says here, I went by the field of a lazy man, and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a power, and your need like an armed man. So laziness, we're shown here, is devoid of understanding. And again, we find that there is a real laziness amongst a lot of Christendom. A lack of really wanting to go deeper with the laws. Just sort of skipping the surface, just sitting on the fence. But the reason that Christians do that is because they don't understand. The Laodicean spirit that so attacks most of the church today is a spirit because they don't understand. And that's why it's Laodicean. And God says, as we know, he's going to spew that or vomit it out of his mouth. Jeremiah has something to say on this. I know there's a lot of scriptures here tonight, brothers and sisters, but I do want to get this over to you. In Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 21, Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 21 says, hear this now, O foolish people, without understanding, who have eyes and see not, and who have ears and hear not. So Jeremiah is saying here that without understanding, you're as good as having no eyes and no ears. And that's why they couldn't understand what God was saying. Because they were lazy, they didn't want their creature comforts changed, and so on. So through that laziness that Israel had, it caused them to be blocked in their eyes and ears. And he says, you just don't understand. Now, the Greek for understanding, now in the New Covenant, this means that the mind denotes the faculty of thinking. In other words, an intellectual perception. So the mind is thinking, is taking in, is learning in order to understand. And so all that we take in, that we understand, we learn, the heart brings it out. And the heart brings it out in a knowledge and in wisdom. In other words, which I'm going to look at in a minute, we've all done this where we have listened to messages, we've put on a tape or a CD, and we listen to it and we think we've understood it. And so we run with it and we try and apply it because we think we've understood it, but we haven't. Because the wisdom and the knowledge to apply wasn't there. And it doesn't glorify God. Sometimes we thought we were in faith. And so we apply our faith. Or we run out and act our faith and realize that it wasn't fall flat on our face. But what was really happening was you weren't understanding. You ran off with it. Because the heart was not really connected with the mind, the intellect. And that's why God says that we're to the mind of Christ, that we're to have this new mind, a mind that's being worked on by the Holy Spirit, so that the heart changes in order. Now, if we turn to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 13, the Apostle Paul has quite a bit about all of this, what I'm talking about this evening. 1 Corinthians 14. Verses 13 to 14. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 13 to 14. Right, here we are. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. And rightly so. If somebody speaks out in a tongue in a meeting, then nobody's going to understand that unless it's interpreted. Now, we're not talking about praying in the spirit in tongues or tongues that we can use worshipping and praising God. And we're actually talking here about somebody would just speak out in a tongue. That tongue is unprofitable unless it's interpreted. Why? Because nobody understands it. And the only person that speaks that out is the person who did so. And maybe they have got quickened and enlightened by it, but that's all it is. So here we get this understanding of what the apostle's saying here. You see, the ability to have moral judgments, Jesus has to open the understanding of our minds. So in other words, for us to understand the word of God morally, ethically, which is what God wants, he has to open our minds in order that we understand. We have to understand God is holy, most holy. And in order to understand the holiness of God, God has to open our minds. And he not only has to open our minds to holiness, but also to the sovereignty of God. Because you learn of God's holiness through learning the sovereignty of God. And so this is how the Holy Spirit does this. Now, if we turn to Luke 24, verse 45, here we see something, what Jesus does here. In Luke 24 and verse 45, and he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scripture. So after Jesus had risen from the dead, he appeared to the disciples, and it says quite here, clear here, he had to open their minds. He had to open their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. So who then opens our understanding? The Holy Spirit. It is God who gives us the understanding. And this is why, brothers and sisters, it's so important to pray for the fivefold ministry, to pray for me also, that God will give us, me, the understanding in the Word of God and the unction of the Spirit. It's important for you when you have your time with God and you open the Word of God to believe and ask, Lord, open my understanding. Because when we understand, then we are coming into faith. Because faith comes by hearing, reading the word of God. But it's no good hearing that or reading that if you don't understand it. And many times we think we understand what we're reading. But we don't understand. unless the Holy Spirit anoints and leads us. You are not going to understand if you're in sin, if you're in unbelief, if you're in confusion. You can only understand and understand that what you hear and what you read when you're in a right standing with God, when you've repented, when you walk humbly before him. That is the only way you will ever understand. Otherwise, we think we understand. And when we think we're understanding, that is always often motivated by pride. Until God opens our eyes. And so here, Jesus is risen. He appears to the disciples. But what has he got to do with these disciples? He's got to open their understanding. Let's look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So there we are. It says the peace of God. What does it do? God's presence, his peace, even passes understanding. So God is so great, is so awesome, that it even passes understanding, which is giving us an idea of how great God is. God is all powerful, all great, that even understanding can't even comprehend. So I said at the beginning, when I opened up in this, we're going to have eternity in which we're going to understand more and more and more of God. It will never come to an end. Hallelujah. Now, with this understanding, God opening our minds, our hearts to understand, that is why we read the Word of God. That's why we listen to the Word of God preached, because this causes us to comprehend what we're hearing, so that we're able to take it away, pray about it, meditate on it, ask the Lord to help me to understand. Because sometimes when you can hear a sermon, you don't understand it all. And that's why we encourage you to take notes, so that you can write things down sometimes. I don't quite understand that, and I'm going to take that before God, because I need understanding. I need my mind and heart opened in that. That's why we take notes sometimes, for that very purpose, so that we don't doubt, so that in that understanding I'm comprehending. And let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 4. Ephesians 3 and verse 4. And here the apostle says, here's by which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So he says here to the Ephesian church, by when you read, that's his epistle, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So that's why he gave the epistles. The epistles he wrote, he sent to the churches in order for them to read them, in order that they can understand, and they can understand where Paul is coming from, the knowledge, wisdom that God is giving him. And Paul prayed that they would have spiritual understanding. He prayed that often for the church. For example, in Colossians chapter 2, verse 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 2, he says that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. So here he's speaking about that the Colossian church grows in in love, knit together in fellowship, unity, and that they will be enriched, and that they will have an understanding of the mystery of the Godhead. They'll have an understanding of that. And that's also what we should be praying. We should be praying that for the churches. We should be praying that for ministers of the word. God, give them understanding of the Godhead. Yet I wonder how often we do that. And finally, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 7, consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. And I opened up with that at the beginning of this, because we're calling this, the Lord give you understanding. My prayer and heart's desire is that you all will have that understanding. But that's only going to come for all of us as we pray one for each other. And we pray for the church. How we need understanding in these last days. Because from that, we then can get that wisdom, that knowledge. And from the heart, we can then apply what we're learning, what we're understanding. But if you don't understand, then you're not really on believing ground. And I think that why we have not always seen maybe prayers answered, or maybe where we have believed somebody was healed and wasn't, because there wasn't the understanding. We thought we understood, but very often we are understanding in our own intellect and our own pride. But the humble who bow the knee before God, they're the ones who will hear and will understand. So I trust that that has been a blessing tonight. It certainly was to me as I was preparing and opening this up. So much in just one word, understanding, and yet how much the word of God has to say about it. Hallelujah. Father, tonight we again thank you. Lord, we know nothing unless you open our ears, our eyes, our hearts. And when you appeared to the disciples, you opened their understanding. Father, my prayer, my heart's desire for all my brothers and sisters and those online tonight, open their mind to understand. For Lord, we don't know otherwise. We think we do, but we don't. And that is why it is a sovereign work of the Holy Spirit in these last days, that he gets all the glory, and that everything you do and are doing comes back to you and exalts the name of Jesus. And so, Father, I thank you tonight for teaching us, with us. Father, I didn't think I was going to preach this message tonight. I thought this was going to be for next week. But you know all things. You are on the throne. And so I thank you tonight for our time of fellowship, our coming together in unity and oneness. And I pray you'll bless, preserve, and keep all my brothers and sisters until we assemble again next time, next Tuesday, for fellowship and teaching. For we thank you for this in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.